If you're haunted and harassed by your own inner critic, if you've ever been curious about why hypnosis works so well, if you're a seasoned hypnotist, or if you suspect that the inner critic is actually hypnotizing you to hold back from reaching the greatness that you know deep down is inside you, lean in and get inspired to get out of your comfort zone and create your one precious life with purpose and intention. If you like this show, you'll love my powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, because it gives you crystal clear guidance and direction and illuminates an ingenious way to make triumphant decisions, no matter how stuck you feel or how confused you were. This powerful hypnosis audio is my gift to you when you go to theimpostermonster.com. Again, that's theimpostermonster.com. Don't forget the. Theimpostermonster.com. And yes, I'm done saying it. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. I'm Lori Hammond, and I'm truly grateful for you. Welcome, everyone. I am so grateful that you're here. Today, I have with me Nicholas Spohn. And Nicholas has devoted his life to all things personal development through studying health, spirituality, psychology, hypnosis, NLP, Reiki, and other various modalities. He's created a comprehensive system to understand what drives human behavior. His mission is to share these ideas with the world. And I am so excited to have you on today, Nicholas. I caught a Facebook Live you did a few weeks ago where you were talking about ego states and anchoring ego states. And I immediately reached out and said, we need to get you in front of my audience. So I'm really excited. I know that you mentioned that we're going to be talking about also the antenna theory of emotions and Spohn-trained hypnotic influences. So I'll just let you jump in and start where you feel is best. And feel free to give us a little bit of your background and tell us more about who you are and what you do.
Perfect. Well, we met when you were a guest on my podcast. And so it was like really great connecting. And I think you're one of those people that I just vibe with easily. So that was super fun. And then as far as myself, I got into real estate and I wanted to be financially free. So that's kind of led me to study in different areas. And that led me to books like Think and Grow Rich and How to Win Friends and Influence People, which led me to Tony Robbins and, you know, just so many different events and offshoots from that, as far as like, you know, learning pranic healing, energy healing, NLP hypnosis. And then what I do, you know, I say the only thing I'm really good at is I recognize patterns. So I'm looking for patterns in what everybody does. And then I'm taking those patterns and trying to simplify them, making them easy so we can understand, you know, what drives what we do in a simple way. And so from that, you're going to get kind of the core of what I teach and what I want people to experience. And that's the antenna theory of emotions, the three steps of hypnotic influence. And then from that, we'll tie into how I anchor different ego states, to show up and perform in as your best self, as the right part of you, right?
Yes, I'm so excited. And you have such a gift for taking these life-changing concepts and distilling them down into actionable ways that people can actually take action. And that's one of the things that resonates with me so much when I listen to you speak, because it's always frustrating to me when I read this book and I light up and I have all these aha moments and it's like, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's all about taking these principles and applying them into our lives so we can use them every day, so we can grow, so we can develop the neural pathways, right? We don't learn something by reading a book and going, oh, that's cool. We get it by reading in the book, committing to doing it over and over until our brain just goes, here's the right way to do it. We already know, we've trained it. And so I take, you know, how do we get the knowledge and then how do we train it into ourselves as well?
That's excellent. So talk to me a little bit about the antenna theory of emotions.
So it started, I was at a Tony Robbins event after the event. And one of my mentors is a Tony trainer. So he's been in Tony's world for 20 years. And we were at a bar with a couple friends and he said, hey, let's do this exercise. And I said, all right. So we sat, it was this woman and myself, and he sat us down next to each other. And he said, he told her to visualize something, a picture. And she closed her eyes and, you know, sat in specific body language. And so he told me, you know, mirror her body language. And so I did. And he would kind of whisper in my ear, like, slow your breathing down a little bit. And he would tweak my face and he would move my thumb. So I was basically exactly matching and mirroring her body language. And he said, just clear your mind and see what comes up. So after a minute or two, I had this image that was a man pushing a little girl on a swing or something. And so I said in a wagon. So we stopped and she said, well, what'd you see? I said, I saw a man pushing a little girl in a wagon or something. You know, it's kind of hard to see. And it was brief. And she goes, I was picturing my dad pushing me on the swing as a little girl. And then I said, your dad had a mustache, didn't he? And her face turned ghost white. There were people around, like she freaked out. And so what I realized is this, like our thought patterns and our emotions are just vibrational frequencies. They're just thought waves, just like a radio antenna. And what I did in that exercise was I tuned my antenna into a very specific thought pattern that matched hers. And so that's kind of the basics of my three steps to hypnotic influence, which we're going to get into. And the antenna theory of emotions was when I realized like it just clicked. Based on our frequency, our vibration, we can tap into different emotional patterns. And from that, like, you know, if you think about when you get into your vehicle, you're tuned into a certain radio station, right? And so all it is the antenna is resonating with the station that's coming in. So if you get in your car and you turn it on and you're tuned into country, well, your antenna is just resonating at a certain frequency. And when you change it to classical music, the country music doesn't go away. You just change the vibration of the antenna and then you hear classical music. And so what happens with people is we get in these depressing thought patterns and we don't realize we're just tuned into a radio station that doesn't serve us, right? And so when you can shift from depression to gratitude, the way that you resonate with everything in the world, the way that you attract changes instantly just from a vibrational shift.
This is so profound. So I want to kind of latch on to what you just said, because it's November 10th as we record this, and I'm noticing, you know, the clouds are starting to be a little more pronounced. There's a chill in the air. And I notice my body almost like dragging me into a kind of a melancholy state this time of year. And I know a lot of other people feel the same way, because more people start contacting me to help with depression. Mm-hmm. And I personally think one of the most profound things we can do to step out of depression is to change our body language. So when you talk about this antenna theory of emotions and you mirroring this woman's body language, how much does that come into play? And what else would you say to someone who is struggling to get from a place of depression to gratitude?
Well, it's almost like I just gave you the questions I wanted you to ask. That's a perfect segue. And one of the things I haven't figured out is the seasonal shifts, because I get that too. And so I'm going to ignore that part of the question because I don't have an answer besides taking vitamin D maybe and traveling. But body language is, you know, they say about 55% of our communication is nonverbal, right? So that means 55% of what we're communicating to the world is our body language. Well, I think about 55% of our vibe, our state is body language too, which means half of the mood that we're in is determined by how we use our body. And so I break it down into four components of body language. And the first one is our posture, right? So when we go big in size, this shows that we're either aggressive or dominant or confident, right? So the larger you make your body, the more confident you appear. When you're speaking, take up as much space as possible. And when you do that, you will start to feel confident. If you're submissive, if you're defensive, if you're afraid, often we put our chin down to protect our neck. We roll our shoulders forward. We cross our arms in front of us to protect our vital organs. And that tells our system like, hey, we're in a state of anxiety, or we're submitting, or we're nervous, or we're afraid. And so just, you know, leaning over on your cell phone for 3 hours a day will tell your entire body, your whole nervous system, be anxious, be worried, be depressed. And so that little shift to the head up, to the shoulders back, that little postural shift can change everything. So that's the first step. The next one is our facial expressions, right? We know that forcing people to smile for 20 minutes, three times a day can get rid of depression. So just putting a smile, this is, you know, like I tell everybody, this is the only thing you ever learn from me is to smile more, your life is gonna be better.
Yes.
And so if we shift our posture back, we put a smile on our face. And Lori, one thing I teach with the facial expressions is I do this thing I call my sly smile, where I kind of do this like little cocky, flirty half smile, like, you know, like that little, like I'm a little troublemaker. And just that shift will change the emotional frequency that I tap into. I'll go from being happy to being more like playful, flirtatious, you know, like a little, And so just the shift changes everything, right? Like, and even, know, if you think about the facial expressions of anger, you know, we flare our nostrils, we put our head down, our chin's protecting our neck again, because we're expecting to get into a fight. So just this little shift here can push you into that state of anger just from the facial expressions. And it sends a signal to your body, releases hormones throughout. And those hormones change the frequency of your cells, which change the frequency of what you hear in the world. All right. And then I know I'm kind of just rambling here, but so feel free to stop me if you have any questions.
It's good. No, I love this. It's good.
Okay. The next one is our movement. So I've seen, you know, the way that we move our body. Often I talk about Italians. We tend to think of them as a very passionate culture. Well, what do? They talk with their hands, and they're moving their hands fast. They're big, big expressions. Well, the way that we use our body shows up in our emotional state as well. And so if you think of someone that does yoga, they're flowing, their body is open. They may be more apt to flow with the world, to allow, to surrender. And then if you think of someone who, you know, moves quickly and decisively and takes action, you know, people can't see me if we're listening on a podcast, but on video, they move their arms decisively. They're decision makers, they're leaders, right? And there's different vibrations. So when I'm doing yoga, I'm more in a Zen state. When I'm speaking about some, trying to get people to take action, I'm moving my body quickly and decisively. And so those changes in movement will change our emotional state.
Incredible. How are we doing so far? Yeah, I'm having so many aha moments. And for those of you listening, if you go to YouTube, you can watch the video of this. And I was even like, I was going through a gamut of emotions just listening to Nicholas speak when he was doing the angry face. I was a little bit like,
yeah. Because
it really does. It changes your dynamic. And I'm also having this aha moment as you talk about movement, because I think in my mind, I have often thought of this body language thing as a more of a static, mm-hmm. static event. But I just got an email from BJ Fogg over the weekend who talks about tiny habits. And he said, if you notice yourself feeling stressed out, slow your movements down by 20%. And I tried it right then. And it just brings this like sense of ease, or almost like being in the water, and moves you into that flow state. So I'm really happy that you're reinforcing that truth for me.
And for me, you know, like I like to speak. And so when I speak, it's just big body language, big smile, and move quickly. And then everyone's like, this guy's enthusiastic. He's got a lot of energy. Who is that? I'm in the middle of a 3-day fast right now. I'm on day 3, and you probably can't tell it by my mood and my energy, because, well, we'll get to this later, but I've anchored an emotional ego state. So I just tuned into that state. I'm ready to go. And the body language follows. I have so many little tweaks for this. So there's also masculine and feminine aspects of body language. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but like, so feminine energy is more of a submissive, allowing energy and nurturing energy, and masculine is more of a dominant, aggressive energy. And so just in our hands, the way we use our hands, we can tap into different energetic patterns. So when we meditate, our palms are up. Palms up is a sign of submission. Like, hey, I didn't do it. You know, I submit, I'm showing you my palms, right? So when we meditate, our palms go up. But when we're about to get in a fight, we make a fist, right? Our hands might be down by our side. When we're tense, we're making that fist. It's almost like we could be hiding a weapon in there. And so just using those different hand signals, we can also access different energetic frequencies. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love this.
So, all right. And then the next one is our breath. And people don't think about breath and body language, but I do. And so here's, and you know, as a hypnotist, that we often mirror people's breathing to get into their emotional state, to get into rapport. So think about this. When we play hide and seek as a kid and someone walks by our hiding spot, what do?
We tense up
and we hold our breath, right? So right before we go into fight or flight, we go into freeze. And so you can walk up on a rabbit and you'll see it freeze and it'll stop breathing because they don't want the predators to sense the noise or the motion. And so when we slow our breath down, or we hold it, we tend to send anxiety through our system, like we're getting ready to fight or flight. And so if you find yourself holding your breath throughout the day, it's no wonder you're anxious or depressed, or you're tuned into those energetic thought patterns because you're not breathing. So I would say scarce breath, scarce mindset, abundant breath, abundant mindset. And I used to coach wrestling, and I remember before a competition, you know, wrestling's a pretty intense, aggressive sport. And before a competition one time, I had the wrestlers do this meditation where they visualize their success, but they were doing really relaxed breathing. And so they all, you know, I did like this breathing pattern I do, and I had these guys come up and they're like, man, I feel like I'm stoned. And I'm like, how do you know what that feels like? But what I realized is we competed like crap. We did terrible. And what I realized was I should have used an aggressive breathing style where the nostrils are flared, you know, like they're getting ready to go into battle. So that like intense face, the warrior face, and they would have been much better prepared than doing the Zen breathing where they're nice and relaxed, right? So different breaths for different, you know, different needs. And it changes the state we're in, which changes our capabilities, because our capabilities are directly proportional to the state we're in.
I love this. So going back to the depressive type state, this is something that I've been thinking about. So tell me if this resonates for you. If a person, to me, when a person is experiencing anxiety, it's often that shallow, high breath, maybe rapid. And when they slow the breath down, it helps pull them out of anxiety. And so I have a sense that the opposite might be true with depression, where you want them to take a more invigorating breath and focus more on really expanding the lungs when they're in more of a depressant state. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So there's a few more variables that we're going to go over in a minute. And I think it's, you know, I call it kind of my theory is that it's a universal feedback loop. So we can shift our body and our emotions will shift. Or if our emotions shift, then our body shifts as well. So we can control it both ways. So we're never the victim, because we can change our thought patterns. We can change our language. We can change our body language, those four factors we just talked about. And we can shift into a different state. So people that are depressed, to make it a habit of going big with their body, forcing a smile, even if it feels fake, until it feels real, moving quickly and talking quickly and being passionate, pretty soon they're going to start to get energy inside them that with the pattern that they're using of small body language, moving slowly, talking slowly, breathing shallow, they haven't experienced in a long time.
Will you say a little bit more about like what some people might hear you saying as fake it till you make it, or do it before you feel like it? I think that's such a profound lesson across the board.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's just not being a victim. And oftentimes, like if I'm in a low state, I just have to remind myself like, hey, like you're not a victim here. Like stop whining about being anxious or depressed or whatever, you know, cause it's an emotional frequency. Like we all go into depression. I don't need to go to a doctor to get clinically, you know, diagnosed for something that's just a song that I don't like. I just change the channel on my radio station. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get into depression. I'm like, oh man, I'm the victim. I'm like, wait a second. Like, that's not me. I change my body language. I move quickly and passionately. Maybe I stop and do some pushups. I breathe deep, put on some music because I'm anchored to music, and I'm in a different state. And everybody can do that. Most people just don't know how, and they don't expand the energy to get some new momentum going.
Yeah. Awesome. This is an aha moment for me, because I teach people the three B's to change their body language, their breathing, and their belief, which is just our recycled self-talk.
Yep.
But this movement piece is, I can feel that this is going to be a really dynamic addition to that.
Good. And for me, like I just stop and do push-ups because, you know, it puts blood into the chest and the chest sticks out bigger, and that's a more confident body language. Blood's flowing to all the muscles. It's a massive state change for me just to stop and do 20 push-ups if I need to.
I love that. And speaking of the masculine and feminine, it's appropriate for women to sometimes step into that more masculine energy. And
absolutely,
it's probably sometimes appropriate for men to utilize a more feminine energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a whole other, the masculine feminine is a whole other discussion about, you know, all attraction is rapport and polarity. So if someone is in the masculine space and someone's in the feminine space and they're in rapport, they're going to have attraction. So if you lose if they're both masculine and they're in rapport, they're going to be friends. If they're both feminine and in rapport, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be friends as well. Or if one's masculine, one's feminine and there's no rapport, you don't have attraction. So you have to have rapport and polarity, meaning the opposite poles, you know, masculine, right, feminine. And then that's where attraction comes from. And often we lose that in relationships because of the feminine takes on the masculine attributes and the masculine takes on the feminine attributes and we lose polarity.
We both want to wear the pants in the relationship.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But that's probably like a whole other 2 hour long podcast episode. All right. So we're through body language. Should we get into a few of the other factors that affect our state?
Please.
So one of them is, and this is similar to the NLP modalities of the visual auditory kinesthetic. But I kind of categorize it differently. So for the auditory, the language that we speak, the language that we hear, and the sounds. So any music that we're anchored to, it all uses the same neural pathway. So the language, how we talk to ourself and our inner self-talk massively changes our state. And so what happens is the ego in our heads, the limiting voices, the limiting beliefs from our parents, from our friends, from our ex-girlfriend who cheated on us, like they're all talking in our ear and we're not usually conscious of it.
Yeah.
So Bandler and Grinder, I think in Frogs and a Princess, said that they believe that 99% of their patients who experienced depression, they were just making pictures and hearing sounds in their subconscious level that they weren't aware of. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to bring awareness to that voice, you can stop it or you can override it, right? And you can use things like incantations, affirmations. You can just shift the way you talk to yourself. And pretty soon, like that voice goes away and your state improves. And you know, like just even using the word try in hypnosis just sets us up for failure. That one word changes all our capabilities when we just use the word try, or when we stop using the word try and we just go and do. And so that's how important language is. And obviously as a hypnotist, you know, we could go on for days about language as well. So that's language. And then the next one's visualization. The pictures that we make in our head, the things that we see, they all affect our state. So if you see a car crash, your state's going to be affected because that's something that came across your visual modality. Then you make meaning, and then your body releases hormones based on that. And so it's good to practice visualizing what you want, where you're going to go. You know, the neural pathways, we know that they build when we visualize, just like if we were doing it ourselves. So every time before I give a speech, I'm visualizing that talk. I'm feeling the emotions of succeeding in that talk. And in visualizing that, my brain then knows what to do. I was in yoga yesterday and I was like trying to do handstands, and usually I'm okay. And I just wasn't getting it. And then I just stopped for a second. I visualized it. And then I went up and I was like perfectly straight. So just visualizing tells your subconscious what to do. So that's another one. All right. Any questions?
I have a couple. So you mentioned incantations. I'd like to know more about what that word means to you and how a person would utilize it. And then I have another question, a follow-up after that.
Okay. That means I'm talking too much.
No. I love this.
Good. So for me, incantations are using the entire body language, using language to tell your subconscious what you want it to believe or what you believe about yourself. And so I keep it very simple. Like, I am fabulously wealthy. I am confident. I am charismatic. And so we're just using I am statements because I am, you know, we can shift our identity or we can claim a new identity. And we all know we've had moments where we live in that frequency of being confident, right? Even if you're not confident all the time, you know, you've been there before. And so by saying that, you start to tune yourself in to that level of confidence. And not only that, but our brain is always making stem cells. And so over time, if we keep telling ourselves the same thing, pretty soon those form neural connections in our brain, which make it a reality. And so we take those stem cells, which, you know, as a stem cell, it can become anything, any type of cell that's needed. Well, when we command it with our language, with our body language, we start to it then goes into the neural pathways that make whatever you're commanding it possible. Does this make sense?
Totally.
And then one other thing I do is I say I am statements. Then I say I have always been fabulously wealthy. I've always been confident, because we don't want our mind to go back in time and go, wait a second, there was that time in sixth grade when you really screwed that up, you know, and that's what it does. But when we're saying I've always been, then we start to create neural pathways back to our memory, which makes us feel like we were confident for our whole lives. And it's just, I don't know, it's an easier transition.
Interesting. So you mentioned visualizing and then making meaning out of what you're visualizing. And I wanted to know what you would say to a person who says, I'm not a strong visualizer. Because I used to say that about myself.
Yeah.
And I've come to realize we're always making pictures. We all just do it differently. So talk to the person who doesn't think they can visualize.
So even if like they're not as aware, like some people they can sit and it's like they're watching a movie screen, right? And some people like they're not as aware of it, but that doesn't mean that it's not going on subconsciously. So if I told them picture their son or their child, they would make a picture of it. Even if that picture didn't pop in their mind, their subconscious still generates a picture. And it's also a skill, right? Like if they just set the intention and they set up a practice to visualize, they can definitely get better at it. But even if they're not seeing anything, subconsciously, they're still seeing it.
Yeah. So even earlier when you were talking about someone pushing a little girl in a wagon with a mustache, we all created some kind of representation. Yes. Of what that means, even though we may not have actually visually seen it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Awesome. All right. So that's language and visualization. Anything else there?
just touch real quick on making meaning, because I think so often we make meaning and we think that it's actually real, that it means something.
Yeah. So focus and meaning is my last one. So we'll get there. That's a good open loop. So the next one's diet and lifestyle. If you're not sleeping, guess what? You're not going to have the serotonin, the dopamine. You're not going to have the building blocks to be happy. Like, you're just not. And so you got to get enough sleep. You got to get the nutrition. Like I said, I'm fasting right now. And basically all spiritual leaders have fasted, you know, for centuries, because what that does is it pulls all those toxins that change our frequency. It pulls them out of the body. And so if you eat it like, you know, a bunch of crummy food, your body's going to vibrate differently. It's going to resonate differently. And so when I drink alcohol, and I don't drink much anymore, hardly ever, but if I drink the next day, I have thoughts of doubt. I have thoughts of, you know, my self-worth is down. And I know, because I've experienced this, it's not me. It's just my vibration from drinking something that's a low vibe, you know, beverage. And so I know I can shift that. And I do that. And that's why I'm so adamant about, you know, living a healthy lifestyle, getting exercise, right? That ties into movement, filling your body with oxygen, and all that comes down to diet and lifestyle, which, you know, we generally don't think about with hypnotists, right? But, you might be the exception, but a lot of hypnotists don't talk about stuff like that.
Yeah. And I love that you have highlighted this, because I will notice for me, I don't tend to eat refined carbs like sugars mm-hmm. and grains.
Me either.
And the biggest reason is because I notice the impact on my mental health. The day after, it's like what you were talking about with alcohol, where I literally will start to experience a sort of a hopeless, like, yeah. Do I really matter feeling? Yeah. And I finally, now that I've correlated, okay, this isn't me, this is the grains that I ate, it makes it so much easier to say no to those things and to realize I'm not broken. I think sometimes we think there's something wrong with us, when really it's a substance that we've put in our body that is presenting this state for us.
Yeah. And my parents had a good friend who took his own life last year, and the guy was on the road constantly for work. He had sleep apnea, so he didn't sleep well. And he was eating TV dinners every night, or, you know, fast food. And it's like, I don't care how well adjusted your mindset is. Like, you're going to have fearful, depressing thoughts when that's your lifestyle. You're not going to have the building blocks to feel good in your mind. And so what he's doing, his frequency then taps into thoughts of suicide and having being worthless. And so he took his own life on some simple lifestyle changes. He had an amazing family that loved him and successful business. And so it's, you know, it's really important. And another thing, like our cell phones, it like sucked the dopamine straight out of our brain. You might as well just take your dopamine and throw it in the toilet. The more time you spend on your cell phone. So I think as time goes on, that's going to be a huge opportunity to help people kick the addiction to technology.
If it's not unplugging what you're talking about, can you give us some strategies for using our cell phones less?
I wish I could, but this is honestly something I struggle with.
Well, and I appreciate that honesty.
Yeah. You know, what I'm doing now is, you know, I showed you my commitment note cards the other day, which we can talk about later. But one thing I committed to was not turning my phone on before 9 a.m. and turning it off at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And then the temptation to look at it's just gone. And the less you can use it, the better your mental health, the more present you're going to be with your life, the more dopamine and willpower you're going to have. So, you know, this is why the people that created technology like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, they limit their kids to like an hour a day on it because they know the effects it can have on the brain.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome.
So that's a few things from diet and lifestyle. Obviously, like, that could be a week-long seminar in itself. And then the next one is the people that we spend our time with, because we get into rapport. It's a natural human survival mechanism that we get into rapport with those that we're around. And I'll give you a little teaser. That's the first step of hypnotic influence, is rapport. So if you want to be a great hypnotist, you got to hang out with great hypnotists. I spent some time with Freddie Jacquin last year, a couple of weeks, and just seeing the language that he used, the way he carried himself, like, I picked up on all kinds of just language patterns from one of the greatest hypnotists in the world, just because I was around him, right? And then I start to resonate with him. And, you know, a lot of my mentors, I almost like steal their brain space because we're sharing the same frequency. So I get around them, we're in rapport, I'm matching their body language, and then I'm on the same vibrational frequency of the ideas that they're getting that's led them to all their success. I feel, you know, like, I feel in rapport with my goals. And so the people you're around have a huge impact on our vibrational pattern.
I love this idea of, so I'll talk about modeling people. And the other day, my last interview was with Jessica Fleischer, and she talked about embodying these people. And you're giving me this aha moment of when we actually are matching that body language piece, we're in that same vibrational space, whatever that is, and we're picking up on the same signals. That's, I love this.
So yeah, so if I want to be like, you know, Tony Robbins, what I can do is I can use my body, my breath, my posture, my facial expressions, my movement, all the same as him. I can use the same language patterns, right? I can focus on the same things. I can have the same, you know, I could try to read, you know, he talks about his morning routine or his lifestyle or his diet. And guess what? Pretty soon I'm modeling all those areas of his life and I'm going to start to feel more like him. Mm-hmm. And then when you do that, like the actions you take, you'll resonate with differently. You know, you're attracting everything in your life differently based on modeling with the antenna theory.
I love it.
So, all right, that's most of it. And then the next one is what we focus on and what we give meaning to. So if I tell you, you know, to think about your right foot in the sock on your right foot, like your focus shifts there. And when I can shift your focus to different things, your emotional state will change. And so if you can, a lot of us make meaning. So we shift our focus and our brain makes meaning of it without us consciously adjusting that or consciously being aware of it, right? So this girl didn't call me back and I'm like, I'm making this meaning that she doesn't like me, that I'm not good enough. We can go down that road forever if we continue to focus on it, but instead realize that meaning is all made up and then I can make a new meaning of it and a meaning that's empowering. So in every situation in our lives, you know, something goes wrong, we can say, oh, this is just an opportunity to something better. And by shifting our focus, by making a different meaning, our emotions change, what we attract into our lives change, how people see us, everything will change. Our body language will change based on what we focus on. If we focus on what's wrong with the world and the coronavirus and all the news, like our body language is going to follow that. Mm-hmm. But if I shift my focus to where I'm going, my goals, how I'm going to lead in this environment, then my body language will start to follow that as well. And so we're just tapped into different frequencies.
Do you find it's easier for a person to change the meaning that they're making if they change their body language first? Or do you find that it's kind of a trade-off that either one can lead?
Again, yeah, it goes both ways. Either one can lead and definitely like, if I want to, you know, if I'm working with parts of somebody, I want to take them into that more like negative state. So I'll shift their focus down. I'll let their body language go down so we can work on that specific issue. And then when I shift them, I want to make sure that the body language goes with it too.
Will you talk a little bit more about parts? Most people who listen to this podcast currently are also hypnotists and probably know exactly what you mean. But for someone who is not sure what that term is.
Yeah. So, you know, think about, like I talked about earlier, getting into your vehicle, you have presets on your radio. So channel one is country, channel two is classical, channel three is rock and roll. Well, a part of us is almost like a preset that's anchored in by something happening. So if our brain recognizes patterns, and it says, hey, to match this pattern, we have to tune into this frequency. And so that's what a part is. Like I have part of me that's like warrior state competitive. Well, you know, I listen to the Native American war drums. And anytime I am going into competition, that part of me goes, step aside, it's my turn to come in. And then I step into the frequency of the warrior state, right? And we're going to talk about this. It's like I have several different states intentionally set up that I can step into and access for different needs. Most of us, we have presets on our radio that are depression, anxiety. You know, like every time I look at my bank balance, I go into anxiety. Every time this happens, I go into depression. And so we have those presets where that taps us into a part of us or a vibrational frequency that doesn't serve us, right?
Yeah.
So awesome. I think what we do as hypnotists is we just change the preset that takes people to depression, right? So it's like, I'm just going to remove the anchor. We'll find out what the anchor is. You know, I think the meta model is just such an amazing way to find out what's triggering people, to ask the questions based on language and get into, you know, how they generalize the lead and distort to create the depression. You remove that and pretty soon people see the same pattern in the world, but they don't tune back into that frequency of depression.
Do you find sometimes when you're in a session and you're trying to really hone in on what the trigger is that brings up that radio station, I find that sometimes my client is unable to really, identify it in the session, but just calling an awareness to it, then in the coming days and weeks, they start to notice, okay, this is where I'm doing it. And it gives them that opportunity to then switch the frequency.
Sure. And I'll give you my patented, I call it my parts close. It's really like a sales close, but it doesn't have to be. And what I say is, Lori, I want to talk to the part of you that gets depressed. I want to talk to that part of you that feels bad for herself, and like when you do that, the part of that person, you'll literally see them be like, yeah, that is me. Mm-hmm. I get depressed. They'll shift.
I felt so, that when you said it.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, that part of me stepped out. And so what I do, like I teach this as a sales close. Think about, you know, if I wanted to sell you a minivan, I'd be like, I want to talk to the part of you that's responsible, that cares about the safety of your family, that's economical. And you'd be like, yeah, there is part of me that does that. Like, yeah, I'm ready to buy. But if I was trying to sell you a Ferrari, I would say, I want to talk to that part of you that as a kid had a dream of going fast, you know, of just like stepping on the pedal and feeling that engine roll and take you down the highway with your wind blowing in the air. And that part of you is like, that's totally me. He's talking to me. And so all I say is, let me talk to that part of you. And that part of you will step up.
I love the simplicity. I think that when we try to complicate it and convolute it, it's a conscious mind tactic. And when we keep it simple, we're really tapping into that part of us that knows how to make those changes.
Yeah. And then you just ask that part, right? Because a lot of times if they're not in the right state, they're not going to give you the right answers. Mm-hmm. So you got to put them into the state where they experience the pain, where they want to change. And then you can get the patterns directly from the mouth of that state, where if I'm in a confident state and you're like, well, tell me about what causes your anxiety, I'm going to be like, I don't have anxiety. I feel amazing. Right. So you got to get my body language, or you got to be totally tuned into that frequency of anxiety, and then ask the question, well, what causes your anxiety? And then my answer is going to be totally different because my state's different. I'm resonating differently. I'm perceiving the world differently in those different states.
So if you were talking to someone that was in a confident frequency and you said, mm-hmm. I want to talk to that part of you that experiences anxiety, would you see that postural change and that shift, especially if you're in rapport and they're following you and they're in a place to heal that?
Yeah, perfect. So we'll just transition right into hypnotic influence. Yeah. So I would definitely want to see that body language change to know that they're in the state. I'll answer that question as we get into hypnotic influence here, but there's three steps that I believe, you know, I've trained with the world's best hypnotists and had, you know, people like you on my podcast and basically just like coaching calls, picking their brain about what's going on in the world. And I look for patterns and I break them down. That's all I'm good at, is looking for patterns. So step one is rapport. As humans, we have evolved to like people like ourselves, people that look like us, that have the same religion, the same language, the same values, dress the same, use their bodies the same. They're safe because we cooperate with them. That's how we survived in tribes. Now, people that were different than us, that have different skin color, different dialects, different body language, different values, different religions, they were dangerous. We were competing with them for resources, for land, for food, and we were battling with them. So our subconscious brain says, if someone's different, they're dangerous. And so it's the first step of being able to influence someone is to get in, to make yourself seem like you're like them. And the best way to do that is to tune in vibrationally. And so, you know, I use the four factors of body language. I use the same language patterns as them. I'm focusing on the same thing as them. And then what happens is they go, that Nick guy, he's just like me. I even use the embedded command, like, oh man, I'm just like you. Like you like me, right? I'll tell people, like, I'll just tell them like, oh, I'm just like you. I experienced the same thing. And then they go, oh man, this guy's just like me. Right. And so then we get into the same frequency. So just like when I was doing that visualization exercise, I was breathing the same. My body language was the same. Neither of us were moving, tapped into her thought patterns. And pretty soon I saw what she saw. And so when you can do that with people, their guards are going to go down and you're going to connect because you're in rapport.
I love it. It's like that concept of when we're guiding somebody through a hypnotic experience, that we go first as a hypnotist. And if we already have that rapport, they see our body going into a trance and they follow.
Yeah. So then the next step is certainty. So we're also evolved that the person with the most certainty is the influencer. So if you think back, you know, if you and I were hunting and you said, oh, I think the herd might've gone that way. And I said, no, Lori, I'm certain that the herd went this way. Our best chance of survival would have been to go with me because of my confidence and certainty. And so, you know, over millions of iterations for humankind, we just started following the person that was the most confident and the most certain. And I'm sure you've walked into a place before where you didn't belong and you're like, no, it's okay. I'm supposed to be here. And you had certainty and they go, oh, okay. And they don't even say anything, right?
Right.
We've all experienced that because certainty is, it's hypnotic. And so when, if you and I are in rapport, whichever one of us has the most certainty becomes the leader of that rapport situation. And you know, there's certainty with body language. When you're in certain body language, you stand tall, your shoulders are back, you know, like you just have that, that aura that we call it a vibe, right? That you have that vibe of being certain. When you talk with confidence, people will follow as long as you're in rapport with them. And then the next step, do you have any questions on the first two?
No, not so far. I'm just soaking it in and putting pieces together as you're speaking.
Yeah. So then the next step is just to shift people's focus and to tune them into a different vibration. And so when we're in rapport and I have more certainty, I can tell you to focus on something until that becomes your reality. And really that's what hypnosis is. Like, just imagine that your name's gone, experience your name being completely gone. Try to remember it. Well, if I have certainty and we're in rapport, guess what? And you let yourself, your name's gone. And then that becomes your reality because I shifted your focus to it. And so I can, you know, call on a part of you now, now that we're in rapport, I have certainty. I call on a part of you and that part of you is gonna step up because I've shifted you into that frequency. So I was working with a client a while ago and I was like watching her parts battle, like her angry side, I had to deal with her anger and her anger was like, it would come up and then she'd be like, oh, I was just so angry. And she'd make the face. And then I was like, what was that? Like, let's talk about that anger. And then she would go, oh no, that was nothing. Like it's not anger. No, I think it's something else. And then she didn't want to go into that anger state. So what I did is I clenched my fists and I like clenched my jaw and I was like, I want to see that angry part of you. And pretty soon she's like shaking and vibrating with anger. And she's like, what is going on here? It was like I hijacked her nervous system.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can tune people in, you know, when you have certainty, rapport, and you guide their focus.
Yeah. And that goes back to that going first. So by you going into angry and bringing your you know, tuning to that frequency, it allowed her to, that is so interesting.
And often, you know, as hypnotists, like when we're putting people into a trance, we're going into some kind of a trance as well. And so we just lead people there. And when you do that, you can take people like who've been depressed. I mean, you know, my clients, I get on the phone and their body language is down. They're like, you know, they're anxiety, depression. That's why they came to me. And, you know, I'm like, I do my subjective units of distress, you know, hey, Ashley, how you feeling today? What's your level of anxiety today? Well, it's probably like a 10 and she's, you know, down. And so I match her, I'm get in rapport, I tune into the same frequency. And then slowly I start to shift my body language up. I start to stand taller. I start to talk faster. I start to put a smile on my face. I'm joking around. And just doing that 10 minutes later, I'm like, Ashley, you know, how are you feeling now? She goes, oh man, my anxiety is at like a 2. I don't know what happened. Well, she's just on a different vibrational frequency. And I'm not even using like, you know, quote unquote, closed eye hypnosis processes. I mean, I do, but at that point, like you can do it. Just shift people's state with those three steps.
What do you, you know, if this girl comes back to you next week and she's, you know, you gave her all these tools for shifting out of anxiety and she comes back and she says, oh, I just totally forgot to use them. Do you have any tools or tricks that you give people for remembering to utilize these powerful tools?
Yeah. I mean, I give homework assignments. I check in and I like to keep it simple. If you give people like I talked about on that video you were describing earlier. If you give yourself or people too many things, they often like, they just don't do it. They get that overwhelmed. And so I have them commit to doing a few things at a time. And then, you know, what we do is I go back into the anxiety trigger, that preset that puts her there. And that's where the healing, that's where the hypnosis work is usually done. So when you remove the preset, you say, listen, when your mom does this, this is what triggers your depression, right? Like, so let's go in and use hypnosis. We'll take you into a deep state. We'll forgive your mom. We'll forgive yourself. We'll start to send love to all of the whole situation. We'll change the perspective of it. We'll take the lessons from it. We'll decide on a new course going forward. And in that course, we'll see the body language standing tall, the emotions surrounding. We're tuning them into a whole new frequency. And then when the anxiety comes back, they realize that it's a whole other, you know, it doesn't exist anymore, or it's totally different, or they can shift out of it.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So those are the three steps of hypnotic influence. And I think at the core of that is the fact that people just want to be loved and accepted. Like that's our driver for everything we do as humans is to fit into the tribe means that we're going to survive and we have to be loved and accepted for that to happen. And so when you can just love and accept people as they are, you're just going to automatically get into rapport. You don't have to worry about any of the other steps. That's all people are seeking is just to be loved and accepted. Like I talk about I don't have it right here, but how to win friends and influence people. I think the whole book is just people just want to be loved and appreciated. And like, that's it.
I love that book.
So most of us are trying to do things in order to get loved because we think we're going to subconsciously that's our survival is based on that. If I'm good enough, if I'm good looking enough, if I'm this, people will love me. Well, that's never enough. So the shift is from seeking love to being the source of love. When you love yourself, when you can give love to others, you're giving people the one thing they want more than anything in the world. And then you can influence them. You can help them change and your life's more fulfilling too.
Can you say something about a person who wants to learn to love themselves, but really struggles and perhaps has such an ingrained habit of self-abuse that they don't know how to do that? How would you direct that person?
I would say that's all of us on some level. I think it's all of us. I think part of it is recognizing the voice in our head, right? Like that's just, that self-love is just a frequency. I've been in states where I'm like, I just completely unconditionally love myself. And I've been in states where I'm like, man, I'm such an idiot. Like nothing's going right. And it's just a frequency. And the way we use our focus, the way we, if we let that little voice in our head run, it's going to take us to often some very bad places. And so a lot of what I teach is like, just meditate and be aware of that voice. And then it starts to lose its power. And so for those people who have that like self-hatred or self-loathing or, low self-esteem, it's often just the voice in their head that keeps telling them the same thing over and over again. They just don't know that it's a radio station that they can tune out of. And so a lot of that's just meditating and watching that. And then, one thing I didn't talk about is judgment. And I think judgment is the root of all evil, of all suffering. And so the one thing that kills rapport is judgment. So when we judge people, they put up a wall that stops rapport. And subconscious, like you don't even have to say it. It shows up in your face, your body language, your vibe. As soon as you start judging, you lose the ability to influence people. And, I think we talked about this on when you were on my podcast is you lose the ability to influence yourself as well. So when we judge ourselves, we lose that ability. We lose the self-love. We lose the ability to have discipline. And that's when people, I think, when they have addictions and they like just binge, let's say eating. Well, like I'm trying to use all my willpower not to eat, but I don't have the rapport with myself. So then I snap and my subconscious goes off and just eats a ton, right? And I think, one of the keys of resolving that is just to develop that rapport with yourself again, that self-love.
Beautiful. I fully agree. Yeah.
Well, good, because I'm just making this up as I go. So hopefully it sounds good.
Now, for people who are intrigued and maybe are taking notes, I will have it in the show notes below, but what is the best way for people to get in touch with you and to learn more? We'll keep going through, but I can hear people wanting to make sure they get to know how to learn more.
Yeah. So I'm Spone Trained on all social media platforms, Spone Trained podcast, Spone Trained on YouTube, Spone Trained on Instagram. And I'm really right now recreating my YouTube channel so I can put out all my content on how to influence yourself and influence others. So right now, YouTube's my main focus. I'm just getting content going there again. So that's probably the place to find me.
Okay. And that's S-P-O-H-N.
Correct. Yep. Spone and trained like a personal trainer. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So, I'm super excited. I don't know if we're ready to go into anchoring.
Yeah, either, do it. So I have my peppermint oil here.
Okay.
And so what happened is I realized when I went to events, I would often tune into this like really charismatic, outgoing state. And I just like, I felt amazing and I really liked it. And I was like, man, I'm just like, I know what to say. I know what to do. I can hypnotize people. I can. And I called it my charismatic state and I named it, the charisma kid is what I named it. And so I was like, well, smells are a great way to anchor things because they go straight into our you know, the limbic part of our brain, there's no filter on it. And it's one of our strongest, you know, senses tied to memory. So it's like, so I'm going to get into this state. And as I'm getting there, I'm going to smell this oil and I'm going to anchor it. So as I would go to events, you know, a lot of Tony Robbins events, there's music, there's like these, he works up the crowd to like a peak emotional state. And so as I'm in that state feeling amazing, I'm smelling the oil. Like me, me just smelling that right now, like I just feel my energy shift. My whole body just shifted.
I can see it. Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting tingling because over time, like I kept anchoring this state to charisma. And so I was on the news last week. I don't know if you saw in like a lifestyle segment. And before I go on, like I have this with me and I put the song on and I smell it. And then I go out and I'm feeling good. And I'm in that charismatic state. Because all of our capabilities are based on the state that we're in. So that's peppermint and charisma. Now I have a warrior state as well. And the warrior state came about in an ayahuasca ceremony where I had a vision of being a Native American warrior in a past life. And then I came back and I went, I have a friend that's a Lakota Sioux. And she took me to a drum circle where they, you know, have the, like the war drums. And like I stepped in and the war drums hit me and I went into this state, like I could just conquer anything. And so I was like, this is a new state of mine. And so I started smelling arborvitae oil, which is like a kind of like a cedar. It's like a pungent woody smell. And I, like even talking about that just starts to shift my energy. So when I want to go into warrior state, like I'm working out, I need to like hit some big goals or whatever, intensity. I smell that. I put the song, the Native American drum music on and my body language shifts, right? In warrior state, the chin goes down because in battle, we don't want to expose our neck. Chin goes down, the nostrils flare. I make fists with my hands. My body language goes big, like, and my whole body shifts into that vibration. Does that make sense?
Yes, perfect sense.
So those are two of my states. And then I also have a state for gratitude, a state for unconditional love, a state for humility, which most people don't associate the word humility with me, but I can tap into the frequency of being like humble and surrendering. And the body language of it is like when I'm meditating, it's just, it's bowing down and it's palms exposed. And then I smell the smell and it's like I just feel this humble surrender and it's an amazing feeling. Yeah. And so those are some of the states that I've anchored and for athletes I've done, you know, created those warrior states for them. And so I'm planning, like I told you, I'm planning to do an event in March where we just do repetitions, anchoring those emotional states. And so the whole room lights up one color. They smell, the song, the exact same song plays for every state has the song throughout. Right. And so at the end of it, people are programmed with different emotional states and access with just a smell and a song and they know the body language associated with it. And that's something that I've been working on for a while.
So you have an aroma and a song and a body language for each state.
Yep.
So
go ahead.
Will you talk to us a little bit more about gratitude? Because I think for people who maybe are dealing with that depression, gratitude could be the perfect antidote. So if you would walk us through a little more how to do that.
Yeah. So for me, gratitude is the ultimate state of like being open to receive. And so it's not the intention to receive, but it's the intention of being grateful for what you have that makes us open to receive. And so I think of like my palms up, just like in meditation, like just surrender. And I just sit, you know, in good posture, head forward, nice and relaxed. And then again, I focus, I visualize, and I hear language that of things that make me feel grateful. I think of people that I'm grateful for, events that I'm grateful for. I had a couple of years ago, I was burning a stump and I had a thing of gasoline and I couldn't see it, but there were smolders in the stump because I was trying to burn this thing down. And when I poured the gasoline on it, the fire went up into the tank and it was burning on the nozzle of my gas tank. And it was a full gas tank. And so the safety nozzle on that gas tank saved my life, or it saved me from being, you know, horribly disfigured. And so I think of that and like even talk about that, like just gratitude comes up. Like that wasn't, you know, just to focus on those few anchors of gratitude and to feel it, your vibration changes. And then when you're resonating with gratitude, like everything in the world is something to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. Everybody around you is something to be grateful for. because you're on a different frequency and you, and your perceptions change based on the state that you're in. And so, so you can change the world by just changing your state.
Yes, I agree. I believe that. So do you carry the little bottles around with you, or do you, I know some people wear the pendants that have a, like you can release the aroma inside the
pendant. Yeah. So I, if it happens too much, the brain will lose the association. So I want to make sure that like I'm in a peak state and I'm anchoring it, or I need to be in that peak state. Like I need to be in that peak state. Right. Like, and right. I hit it. Otherwise, like I don't want to abuse it, because the brain will then associate it. Like it'll lose the peak emotion of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I just, you know, like I want to be a little picky. So like I said, I went down and I did that news segment. I wanted to be charismatic. That's when I carry it with me and boom, I use it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I try to like use it when I'm in that peak state or, you know, I'm meditating and I'm like really feeling it. Then I smell it to strengthen the anchor. And yeah, it's pretty wild.
I love it. So is there, before I move on to my next question, is there anything else you want to consolidate in all of those?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we just covered like 5 years and me going to 40 some events and lots of books. So to simplify, you are not the victim of your emotional state. You can tune into different frequencies. And when you do, your life will change. The people you attract, the things you attract in your life change, your mood changes, how you perceive the world changes. And so I think just remember that you're at cause and you can control those variables that we talked about. And then the next thing with influence is just people just want to be loved and accepted and not conditionally. They don't want to be judged. They don't want you to try to change them or fix them. They just want to be loved and accepted. And you yourself just want to be loved and accepted as well.
Beautiful. Are there any personal stories you're willing to share with us about kind of the before and after transformation, how, where you were and where you've come as a result of these tools?
Yeah. So I ran a marathon, last September without training, and I was running one day. So this is just a simple, this isn't really like a before and after, but it's what you're capable of when you learn how to use these. So I hadn't really been running that much, and there's a marathon in town, and I was like, I think I'm going to get some buddies and do the relay. And it's like 6 miles a piece. And so I went for a run. This is like probably 3 weeks. No, this was 2.5 weeks before the marathon. So I went for a run. I ran 7 miles and I was like, man, I felt pretty good. Maybe I'll just do the half marathon. And then I went for another run to see if I could run 13 miles to see if, you know, I could do the half marathon. And my mind goes, you're going to run the full marathon. And I was like, what? And it was like, yeah, you got to see if all this stuff works. So I ran 13 miles that day. I felt pretty good. And I decided, you know, 2.5 weeks before the marathon that I was just going to run it. And I'd run, you know, literally I did 4 training runs for it. And so here's what I did. I took all of these tools and I put them into play that day. I ran a marathon without training in 3 hours and 50 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so I knew that as I'm running, my face was going to grimace with pain. Right. And so I was like, I'm going to smile the entire time. I'm going to short circuit that neurology of pain. So I had a big, stupid smile on my face for everything but the last probably 3 miles. And then I would force it and grimace. But so I smiled the entire time. I knew I couldn't let my head down. I couldn't let my shoulders roll. So my body language was just up, you know, and that confident. I'm just running with ease. Right. And my hands were relaxed. I knew that. At the end of it, I was, you know, pretty tired. I hit a wall and I knew that my body would follow if my arms were pumping. Arms were good. So I was just like, I was enthusiastically pumping my arms and my legs just followed. I was getting that movement in there. And another thing I did was, the auditory, the self-talk, the whole time I was like, I was singing songs, I was doing affirmations and I ran with a pace group. And so I would sing, you remember Matthew Wilder's song, Break My Stride?
Nobody's
gonna break my stride. Nobody's gonna hold me down. So I would start singing that, and then everyone would start singing that. And so the guy that was pacing us would be like, "Oh, you know, this is one of the tougher hills up, you know, up ahead." And I'd be like, "Did you say it was one of the easiest hills?" And I would be, and then the other guys that we were with would be like, "Yeah, this is easy." Like I was hypnotizing them as we're running, and these guys that I ran with all had their best marathon times. And so then, you know, the visual when you think about running a marathon, you picture it and it's like never ending, right? It's like extremely long. So what I did is I took that visual of it and I shrunk it down to like a 3x5 note card size. And then I pushed it off and my brain said, oh, that's easy. That's doable. Because if you picture it as never ending, your brain's gonna go, this is stupid. Let's just stop now. So the way that, you know, visually I related to the marathon was totally different after applying that. And so, yeah, so I ran it and that's just one aspect. I failed a speech at my old job, like, I don't know, 6 years ago. I just like locked up. I got super nervous. And since then I've spoken around the world, been on the news. I've been on the news 5 times in the last year because I visualized my success. I practiced it. I created these anchored states. And yeah, I use it for everything.
I love that. I think so often it's so easy for us to see how to apply these tools to our clients' lives. And we have these blind spots for ourselves. And so one of my most empowering questions has been to say, okay, what would I tell a client to do in this situation? And that kind of unlocks all these tools for my use as well. And so I love that you exemplify this and that you're walking the walk.
Yeah, I try to, and that doesn't mean that I don't have my own barriers, because I definitely do. And I keep people around myself like you that can say, hey, Nick, this is your problem. This, you know, did you think about it this way? And I'll be like, that's how I would have coached me. That's great advice. You know, because it is, I think we do have our own blind spots.
Yeah, it's so valuable.
It's been fun. It's been fun learning all this stuff and seeing the things that can happen when you apply it. I mean, you know, it's life-changing stuff.
Yeah. Well, this has been absolutely amazing. I feel like this is a masterclass in state control. And really, I think when you understand how to control your state, the sky is the limit. You can go where you want to go. You get to create your own destiny with purpose. Instead of being tossed to and fro, you get to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is...
Yeah. So like Tony Robbins, I've been to his stuff and he talks about peak state, right? He puts people in like this amped up peak state. Well, I'm like, well, there's so many different peak states. Why not just be intentional about selecting which one we're going to tune into, and then train it, right? You got to develop the myelin pathways. You got to have all the building blocks in your nervous system to make that emotion happen. And that just takes some practice. And over the years, I've put some practice into it so I can access those states when I need to. And that doesn't mean that I'm like happy-go-lucky every day, because I definitely have my bad days too. And sometimes I feel down and I'm just like, I'm just going to feel down today just because I can. And, it's part of life.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate you sharing these tools. This is such a gift. Is there anything else that you want people to know before we say goodbye?
If they want my language, I have an influential language patterns course that takes people through kind of the three phases of hypnotic influence. It's sponetrain.com/language. Then get that for free. It's 30 days of just language patterns that, you know, build rapport, show your certainty, and then shift people's focus. So that's for free. And then, yeah, I think that's about it for now.
I love that. I'm going to go check that out as soon as we hang up. Awesome. Thank you so much, Nicholas. This has been such a gift.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm so grateful you've listened all the way to the end. What is one tiny action step you'll take now based on an aha moment you got during the podcast? Maybe that life-changing action step is to come accept the gift I have for you at theimpostermonster.com. Head there right now to get your powerful hypnosis audio, The Answer Room, that lets you make important decisions and get crystal clear about your next step forward on this path of purpose in your one great and precious life.